creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
On this episode of Culture Click, we're talking politics with State Representative Gene Pawlowski. He'll fill us in on the Minnesota House sessions, which are now in their third week. You'll learn more about the state bonding bill, the insurance rebate bill, and the state tax bill. Gene, who is a seasoned politician of over 30 years, will also fill us in on how social media has an effect on politics.
I would rather tweet something that someone might be able to say is productive, but I don't think my every daily movement has to be tweeted out.
I'm Terry Tunset, and you're listening to Culture Click. Good afternoon. You're listening to Culture Click, and nothing's more cultural than Minnesota politics with State Representative Gene Pawlowski. How are you doing this afternoon?
So far, Terry, very well, but it looks like it's going to be a long day here for the Minnesota House. We're going to be taking up the insurance rebate bill, and that could take several hours. We'll go into session about 3 o'clock.
Wow. Okay, so long day for you, possibly.
Well, it'll go today, probably several hours, and that depends on the length of time we want to spend amending this, but this is a significant bill. It has $300 million from the budget reserve and another $150 million from general revenue for a total of $450 million that will address the insurance rate increases that Minnesotans have seen over the last year. That would impact about 125,000 Minnesotans, but in our area, it impacts quite a few people, and even more so in our area because of what they call the Mayo effect. The Mayo effect was something that was unanticipated when the Affordable Care Act was passed by the federal government. And when you have a high-end, very expensive producer of health care in an area, it drives up the rates. And that is what's happened in southeastern Minnesota. And hopefully, whatever they're going to do with the Affordable Care Act in Washington, and then whatever the fall-off will be here in Minnesota, we'll be able to address that in a formal way. But what we're going to do today is one time. So the folks who have insurance rate increases as a result of that will get about a 25 to 30% reduction in their rate for this year, but it's a one-time reduction.
So what happens after that?
What happens after that, it depends on what happens in Washington with what they do with the Affordable Care Act, and then it depends on what the how much authority they're going to give the states to address the concerns in each individual state. And that is totally unknown. So we won't know until they actually do something in Washington with this. I know that there is legislation moving through Congress to repeal the Affordable Care Act, but as of right now, we have no idea what's going to replace it.
So it's kind of a frightening time for some people.
It would be a time where people would be very concerned because there's nothing more important than someone's health. And for folks who are in the middle of having some type of extended health care, they know they need that insurance, and that insurance has to go. Now, I don't suspect that anyone will lose any insurance. You'll be able to have the policies that you have and the rates that you have. It's for folks who would be coming onto the market to get insurance that we have no idea what that market's going to look like.
The economy, everything with that. A lot of unknowns at this moment, especially if people are changing jobs. It's so important.
Right. And a lot of people no longer get health insurance from their employer. So they have to get it on their own. And, of course, for small businesses, private businesses, they have to provide health insurance, and that's getting more and more expensive.
So what happened between the last time I talked to you and now? There was a big week for you.
Well, we went into session. We're now grinding into our third week. But the session is, we're starting relatively slowly, except for the major bill with insurance. But I suspect there'll be a parallel bill coming soon, and it'll be the tax bill. It'll be the bill that the governor vetoed in 2016.
Right.
And there'll be a variation of that now. That bill's being put together in committee. Representative Davids, who is the other half of my district, and a graduate, by the way, of Winona State University, chairs the tax committee, and I served on the tax conference committee with him in 2016. The elements of that bill impact us greatly, and those elements would be that for the first time in decades, we're going to address a problem that we've had in greater Minnesota, that when a school district passes a referendum, which is based on property taxes, it inordinately falls in a disproportionate way on agricultural land or farmland. And, of course, the agricultural community then battles the school district when the referendum is proposed, and many times the referendums fail. There has been a major adjustment, which costs money, in the tax bill to make sure that that battle will not happen and those taxes will not fall unfairly on the agricultural community. There also is in that bill, and we would be the only state to do it, a program that would allow individuals who have an immense amount of debt as a result of their college education to write some of that off inside our tax system. Now, not all of it, but a portion of it you would be able to write off. No other state has done this, and this would be a first. We also have in that tax bill reciprocity with Wisconsin. That's been a huge issue.
Oh, yes.
That's coming back in. So those three things alone make the tax bill a major impact in our area.
I mean, a lot of people work in La Crosse, for example, and come back to Winona every day. So
our stretch of river has the biggest impact when the reciprocity went away, when Governor Pawlenty decided to turn it off because of the budget crisis. It impacted the residents in our area more than any other portion of the state.
Yeah, I can totally see that, especially with Gunderson being in La Crosse and a lot of other industry like Quick Trip. Their corporate offices are in La Crosse, so there is a lot of traveling back and forth for a lot of people. Okay, so we've got the tax go bill, we got the health care going on. What else is happening, or what else should we be aware of?
Well, all of the committees are starting to hear either bills and or overviews. Now, there's a discussion going on inside the House, and it's one that I participated in, where we should hear fewer bills, and in particular, if you are a budget committee, a finance committee, you should focus on budgets. So you shouldn't be hearing bills. We should be hearing detailed presentations on the accounts that we are responsible for. So in higher ed, that would be the University of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It would be Minnesota State, or what they used to call MinSCU. It would be the grant program. And these can be very, very detailed. When I chaired in 2013, we had 14 hearings just on the budgets of the University of Minnesota and MinSCU, and then on related items such as the grant program, and then how their current budget requests impact those budgets. So I'm hopeful that instead of just hearing members' bills, we would focus more on budgets, all of the budget committees. And that has yet to be resolved, but there is discussion that may be where the House is going to go. I'm hopeful.
The last time I talked to you, we were talking about the state bonding bill and how that affected Winona's economy and the education village. Can you give any more insight onto what's happening with that?
Well, there is negotiation going on to see if we can pass a bonding bill this session, and if we can pass one early. And when I talked to you before, I had mentioned that now we have a huge backlog. There was no bonding bill passed in 15 and 16, so we have all of those items that are already queued up, but now more items are coming up behind it. So we desperately need to pass that bonding bill to clear the deck so we can go into 2018 and start addressing the items that are building up behind it. Now, the Education Village would be one. Also, improvements to the Port Authority would be another. You've got roads and bridges across Minnesota, and some of those roads and bridges would be focused on townships. Some would be focused on counties. All of those need to be addressed. We have match dollars that we need to put forward for other projects. Now, that would include, for instance, what happened in Winona. A portion of that bridge the state paid for,
right,
as high as maybe 30%. Well, Red Wing is looking for a brand new bridge, and the designs of that are already done. We need to have a bonding bill to ensure that we can match the federal dollars that would go into these bridges. And those bridges are not small items. The Winona Bridge alone was $150 million. So all of those things we need to do, and then start looking at what will be before us in 2018. So there are negotiations if they are successful is yet to be decided, but I hope we can pass a bonding bill in 2017.
I think what a lot of people are confused on, if they're not regularly involved in politics, is how everything gets ironed out and why it takes so long. So if you could sum up that process for people that are kind of foreign to it, that would be helpful.
Well, the process tends to be very political.
Right.
And the biggest change here is that you now have a brand new Senate Republican majority. You have an expanded Republican majority. So the Republican Party controls both the Minnesota House and Senate. And that hasn't happened for 4 years. That should mean that certain things might happen faster. For instance, we're seeing the insurance rate bill hopefully fast-tracked. It also means that because of the base of that party, you may see some resistance, for instance, to passing any type of spending bills anywhere or be very limited in the type of spending bills that you have. Now, for a bonding bill, because we just use that as an example, you need a supermajority. So you need both Republican and Democratic votes to pass a bonding bill. No one party has enough votes to pass it in either body by itself. Then you have the governor. Now, the governor will release his budget on Monday. Then he's going to come next week for a state of the state to the legislature. So the third part of this is you have a Democratic governor. He's going to propose his budget, and that budget will include a bonding bill, but it will also include funding for all of the things under the Constitution we need to fund in order to keep Minnesota running. So all of this has to be negotiated out. And as we've seen in 2016, sometimes it's not very pretty.
That was something else that I was always curious about. You have to work with these people. Outside of it, is it a whole different ballgame if you guys get together to talk versus when you're doing work? Or do people kind of still stay separate?
No, there are in the last couple of weeks, I've had meetings in my office with Republican members, and we've been going over what we think we should be doing, for instance, in higher ed. I'm looking at budgets rather than bills. I've met with a Republican minority leader on exactly this topic, and then on reforming the House rules. No, we do work together, and sometimes we even have social events together.
That's what I was wondering.
And the social events are good because you just get to talk, and you can hammer things out that you wouldn't be able to do in committee or on the House floor, and you get to know people. Some people use a variety of different things. Occasionally, I'll use golf as a means. 18 holes can sometimes resolve a lot of things. So it does happen. It doesn't happen as much as it used to, unfortunately, and that has been reflected in what happened in the 2016 election process from the federal government on down.
You've been involved in politics for how many years, Gene?
This is my 31st year in the legislature.
Wow. Okay, so you've seen social media evolve. Yeah. How has that affected politics?
Well, unfortunately, I think we're seeing it at the very highest level with President-elect Trump. I don't really see the purpose in issuing all of those tweets that he does. It seems to stir up more problems and resolve. Here we have members who are sort of in two camps. We have some members that will literally tweet out things, 100 tweets a day, and I have no idea what people would want to read from a member 100 times a day. And then you have some others, and I'm sort of in that camp, where I think in the years I've had the Twitter account, I think I only have 100 and some tweets over all those years. I would rather tweet something that someone might be able to say is productive, and they'd have read it and say, okay, fine, that now I understand something. But I don't think my every daily movement has to be tweeted out. It also means sometimes things are tweeted out that shouldn't be. And we've had members of the House who have had to stand and apologize for things they tweeted about other members that they regretted after they tweeted them. And, of course, that doesn't help the process either.
No, it doesn't help Minnesota out too much either. It can be a good thing, though. I mean, a lot of people, depending on the demographic, do pay attention to what's going on Twitter, especially the male 35-plus population. So it is a good way to target certain audiences that are looking for information. So
yeah, it is, but you have to distinguish between fake news and real news.
Oh, yeah.
And the social media tends to confuse both. I would prefer that if we were going to use those mediums, we use what are factual tweets and factual Facebooks, and that is not always the case.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
And that confuses people, and sometimes people get confused to the point where they get turned off completely.
I can totally see that. And then all of a sudden they don't know who to trust and they just give up, you know, and it's confusing. So what are you most excited about for the future of Minnesota, Gene?
I'm hopeful that the bonding bill will resolve not just the Education Village and the Winona Port Authority, but that it'll put us in a process of, first of all, these do create jobs. They create jobs for the people who are doing the building projects. But then when the project is done, you see also the impact of it. And the bridge in Winona is the best example, the transformation of what's going on the levee on 2nd Street and 3rd Street are directly related to the bridge. It'll happen with the Education Village. When that's done, you'll have a showcase for teacher preparation, and you'll also be able to say that we don't always need to build new. We can take current structures and we can rehab them for future use for next generations without having to always build new. And that, I think, is a model that Minnesota also has to take a look at. Rather than tearing things down and just saying we have to have something brand spanking new, let's take a look at what exists out there and save it. And the bridge is another example of that. We're going to save the old bridge. We're going to rehab it. We'll have four lanes. And if either of those two lanes go down, we'll still have two lanes and a transportation artery that will be in use rather than what happened in 2008 where we had to shut the bridge down. I'm hopeful that we can proceed down that path this session.
That'd be great. If people want to find out more information about what's going on and find out information about you, where should they go?
They can just go to the House website. They can click on our email. I answer all my emails so they don't get an automatic response. So they'll get an answer directly from me. Also, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all bills are posted there, all committee action is posted there, floor action is taken there. You can stream. Today, for instance, if you wanted to watch the House floor, you can watch us on your computer. You can also watch us on TV. And I'm not sure what channels are available in the Winona area. I know up here they have dedicated channels for both House and Senate, and those appear on PBS. I'm not sure where they appear on Charter and HBCI in Winona, but I'm sure folks would find it if they take a look.
And then to contact you?
Oh, contact me. Just go on the website, hit, you know, my email account, and you're in.
I appreciate you taking time. Probably check in with you via email next week and see what you got.
Next week, I think we'll be able to say we've moved forward a little bit. Hopefully today we pass the insurance rate reduction, and maybe next week we'll see some movement on a bonding bill or a tax bill.
Well, thank you for your work, Gene, and for what you do here on campus at Winona State. We appreciate that, and we'll touch base with you next time.
Okay. Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
Thanks again to Representative Gene Pawlowski, Jr. of the DFL, District 28A. Gene can be reached through email at rep.gene, that's G-E-N-E, dot Pawlowski, P-E-L-O-W-S-K-I, at house.mn. More information on the Minnesota House of Representatives can be found at www.house.leg.state.mn.us. There you will find information on legislatures, committees, bills, law, and more. I'm Terry Tunstead, thanking you for listening to Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.